In the construction business and can't find what you need? Quality Supply and Tool has served Hoosiers for over a quarter of a century. Tom Hawk is the branch manager of the Indy location on South Harding Street.
We've always been big on keeping our shelves fully stocked of inventory of industrial-grade tools, concrete, masonry products, as well as the necessary accessories to help get the job done. You don't have it, you can't sell it. Our experience allows us to help with getting the pros as well as the weekend pro taken care of.
Quality Supply and Tool also has locations in Bloomington, Lafayette, and Jeffersonville to help you think outside the box store.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it.
Beyond the Bricks with Jay Query and Mike Thompson on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Greetings, salutations, and good evening. On this, officially, I guess you would say, the eve of the racetrack firing to life in the month of May, albeit the road course to begin for the Sancio Grand Prix, which practice will begin tomorrow, but nonetheless, you will hear the roar of the engines at 16th and Georgetown. We are inside the Bet365 Command Center for another edition of Beyond the Bricks. How are you? My name is Jake Query. And joining me, as always, on the program is Mike Thompson. And Mike, I know that when the calendar turns May 1st, we start to get excited. When the first green flag falls for practice for the Indianapolis 500, we start to get excited. But tonight, we get excited as well because tomorrow, in fact, everything gets underway from an official capacity with practice for the Sancio Grand Prix and then, of course, the road course coming to life on Saturday. So a lot to be excited about right now in Indianapolis.
That's right. And I know you're very excited because you're even busier in the next few weeks.
That's right.
Because your schedule is amazing. I don't know how you honestly do it with all the different things that you have responsibilities for. But definitely excited to be involved in Indianapolis in the month of May.
You know, it's funny, Mike, because it truly isn't work, right? Because we get to be out there and, you know, between doing the midday show on The Fan and then this show with you, which is always a highlight, and then doing things in terms of covering qualifying and the different races that take place out there. It's always fun. It's always exciting. And there's an energy that comes with it. And that includes, you know, all the traditions that go into the month of May and the different various aspects of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indy 500. And I think, Mike, and we talk about it a lot, but the reality is that there are so many things to talk about that we could probably never run out of material on it. And that is all of the auxiliary things that go in to the greatest spectacle in racing. You obviously have everything from the Mario Andretti's, the Lloyd Rubies, the classic stories of the Joe Dawsons and the Jules Goos and the, you know, Ray Haroons, it goes without saying. But then there are the other things that, and one of the things that I love, Mike, and it's one of the topics that we're going to get to tonight about the Indy 500 is, for all of the people there, I think everybody has their own little thing that's their favorite, whether it be the pre-race festivities, whether it be the playing of taps, whether it be the parade, whether it be the Gordon Pipers. There are all those different aspects, Mike, and that's just one of the many elements that make this event so spectacular and so unique.
I agree, because there is something for everybody. I know how many people, for them, you know, the Jim Phillippe, you know, homage speech is what resonates so much with them. And there's, like you said, there's something for everybody. And there's something as part of the pre-race ceremonies that people take away. And, you know, whether it's the parade of vintage cars or the bands or, you know, the giant drum, there is something for everybody. And I think, as you said, there's something that a little piece of, you know, that's my part of the pre-race that really means the most to me. So there's definitely little things. And whether it's, you know, I know you love Menudo, whether it's the Menudo, you know, Indianapolis song, you know, that's kind of, or, you know, we played, you know, the Radio Indiana WIBC sounder is one of the things that gets my, you know, always gets my hair standing on it. You know, that type of, there's something for everybody that's kind of your thing in the month of May, for sure.
you know, the Menudo song is a toe tapper. Let's not kid ourselves, Mike.
Well, it is. And I just like to I like to drop Menudo in whenever I can. So.
Well, it's one of the great songs, of course, in the history of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but there are better for sure. And that takes us to our first subject tonight. You know, tonight's show, we're going to take a look at some of the songs that have become part of the lore of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And there is one probably that stands out as the most consistent amongst others. If you listen to the radio broadcast of the Indianapolis 500, you have heard it. Certainly when it comes to the legacy and the heritage, as we talked about last night, of WIBC radio, you have heard it. The Singing Hoosiers was the group that first sang the 500 song. And it is one that when you hear me say the 500 song, you may say, that doesn't necessarily completely jump out at me. But when you hear the song itself, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Here is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway historian emeritus, Donald Davidson, talking about the 500 song.
Who was Joe Jordan?
He wrote the song. He was from Carmel, and I think he was a pharmacist. He's deceased now, but he does have relatives in the area.
Was there a contest for this song or something like that?
I think he was just passionate about the 500 back in the days when drivers knew that you have a 3-abreast start, and he just wrote this song and came to Sid Collins and said, I've got this song I'd like for you to listen to, and Sid liked it, and they recorded it, and I think it was Al Cobain who had the who was a band leader, think did the orchestration for it.
Now, to add to that just a little bit, that's Donald Davidson on, of course, a recording of his famous program, Talk of Gasoline Alley, talking about Joe Jordan and the song, the 500 song. And, Mike, I've told this story before, but I'll repeat it. Last year at Christmas time, one of the favorite gifts that I've been able to give my dad, who is, you know, thankfully still with us, my dad grew up in Indianapolis and worked in a pharmacy when he was in high school as a soda jerk, as it was known back then. He was the guy that if you wanted a cherry Coke or a vanilla Coke, my dad was the one that made it. That pharmacy was known as Jordan Pharmacy. And my dad worked at Jordan Pharmacy. My dad went to Broderpool High School, would have been the class of 1959, but then actually left school to raise money for his siblings, and then ultimately graduated from North Central High School in 1961. It was during that time that he worked for Jordan Pharmacy, since the age that he was old enough to work, essentially. And last year at Christmas, I was able to give my dad one of the unopened initial releases on vinyl, the 45 of the 500 song from when it was initially released by the Singing Hoosiers. And it was significant to my dad because my dad tells the story that the first suit he ever owned was because Joe Jordan came to him and said, there's going to be a celebration for a song that I wrote that is being released onto 45, and I'd like for you to be there because I know that you like music. My dad was in choir when he was a kid. And my dad sheepishly came up with reasons why he couldn't go, to which Joe Jordan then finally said one day when he came in to the pharmacy, he gave my dad's very first suit and said, I had a feeling maybe this is the reason you didn't want to go. So my dad put on his new suit and went to the event to celebrate the pressing and release of the 500 song, because Joe Jordan had the wherewithal to be able to tell that that was my dad's apprehension in going to the event. My dad spoke very highly throughout my childhood of Joe Jordan, of Jordan Pharmacy, and of the writing of that song. Many people think the song itself is only about 30 seconds long, because when you would hear it during broadcasts of the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, that's about what you would hear, would be 30-second snippets of the 500 song. But in reality, it was longer than that. Here it is, in totality, the song that Joe Jordan of Jordan Pharmacy wrote, the song that the Singing Hoosiers performed, and we call it the 500 song.
Good luck. is the greatest race in the world. From the night before, the crowd shall roar, from the coast of Maine to Pacific shore. From all around the world, they throng, 250,000 strong. The air is just like carnival home, from the big parade.
Your engine
into the first turn, the Pacers lead into the southeast, picking up speed down the back stretch. Hear them roar into the northeast, they are more cross the short stretch, fly and go. Out of the northwest, ready to go down to the Princeton Charter School, and here come the Thunderers.
Mike, I'll be honest, I don't know that I've ever heard the full version of that. It's kind of like America the Beautiful or the Star Spangled Banner, and the fact that there's a lot more to it than people realize, but pretty cool to hear it in its totality.
One of the things I like about that is it's from the era where the turns weren't named 1, 2, 3, 4, basically, right? There's the Northwest Turn and the Northeast Turn, and that's how they were referred to back then. I really like that from that era, the way the turns were referred to in the song, and it is interesting to hear the full version of the song as opposed to just the snippets that we typically heard.
And the singing Hoosiers performance of it is obviously iconic, but let's be real, Mike. It is perhaps not the greatest, in your opinion, variation of that song that has been played over the airwaves of this radio station or WIBC.
Well, I was lucky. I just found, and I mean by just found, I mean a couple weeks ago, I found a version of the 500 song. And I think you're going to be very excited about this. You haven't heard it yet, I know.
So I have not.
This is radio gold. And just to set it up, I found this. There's a gentleman, and I don't know if he really wants me to use his real name, so I'm just going to say his name is Dr. Indy, and he's been a friend of mine for a long time, and we work together on audio archive projects together. And he has saved some of the old all-night race party shows. And somehow in 2002, the host, Mike Sarawak, got Paul Page and Bob Jenkins and Mike King all on the show doing the all-night race party. And he convinced Bob Jenkins and Paul Page to do some singing. And they sing a couple different songs. And one of those songs is the 500 song.
Now, I would assume that at that time in 2002, when Mike King was the active chief announcer for the IMS radio network. And then obviously you have Paul Page, who had served, and Bob Jenkins, who had served. Lou Palmer and Sid Collins would have been the only other two at that time in terms of chief announcers for the IMS radio network. But I've not heard it, so let's hear it now. And what's fun about this, you're going to hear those gentlemen singing the 500 song, but this all began before Bob Jenkins had joined in. Essentially, you've got Mike King, Paul Page, and they're talking about the great voices and music of the Indy 500. And it began with a challenge of singing the jingle for Stark and Wetzel, which, of course, was one of the iconic commercials that you've heard on this program, as a matter of fact. And a kind of a sound effect, fun techno thing with Sid Collins as well. And then it transitions, I should say, into the 500 song. Here's how it all sounded.
You guys know...
That's
this
better.
This was like,
will do it.
This was like watching a Beatles reunion here.
The greatest spectacle in racing.
You always get the best of it. The savory, flavory best of it.
I don't know the words from here.
That's it. Da, 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 da.
Hi, everybody. This is
Stark and Wetzel meets
or something like that.
You're getting the savory, flavory best of it when you serve Stark and Wetzel Little Smokies.
Little Smokies?
These little pork sausage links are so lean and tender with a light, smoky flavor you have to taste to appreciate.
Bring back memories.
And U.S. government inspected for
it. Isn't it amazing how commercials can do that?
Quick because
it's the whistle. I remember another one, too.
And serve.
If you can ever find it.
Savory, flavory best.
I got to hear the rest of this.
Pork sausage links next time.
Isn't it amazing how we're sitting here wanting to hear the end of it?
Guaranteed delicious or your money back.
For good thing, meat stuff and to eat this Stark and Wetzel meat.
And for Bob's sake, you hope he's asleep.
I hope Bob is awake. Bob, if you're awake, call us because I want you to sing some more commercials.
Now, wait a minute. There is one. And
no
they're singing the Indy 500 theme song. Do you want to wait or do you,
which
feel,
one?
Do you feel like the old one?
Yeah, the old one.
The 500.
Yeah.
The 500. All right. Do you feel like singing, Bob?
Not at all.
Man, the greatest race in the world.
Not after this, Ed.
Can you name
the group that sang it?
It was
give you one of those
Speedwagon.
Cool bags over there. If you,
I have no idea.
A trivia question. It's very easy. It's really very easy. Just put two and two together, and you've got it for this race. Just think about it for a second.
I will. And I'll also give you a chance to sing, Mike, because
we're using this in our open tomorrow.
Are you?
Yep.
Are you going to sing along with us? Can we use this in your open tomorrow?
Let's hear it.
Very good.
Oh, we can't sing.
Here's Bob.
Oh, come on.
Here's
oh, come
Bob
on.
Jenkins.
Ladies,
listen up, Mike.
Okay.
Listen up.
The 500, the 500, the greatest race in the world.
Come on, Mike, your mic's open.
From the opening bomb till the race is run, it's thrill after thrill after thrill.
Yeah, we're using that tomorrow.
We're done.
The 500, the 500. The biggest and best of them all.
Yeah, there's
and
like four
until
verses.
That checkered flag's unfurled, it's the greatest race in the world.
You are awesome.
Bob Jenkins was awesome, no question about it. Bob Jenkins, the late, great Bob Jenkins, along with Paul Page and Mike King there at the WIBC all-night race party. And, Mike, the thing about that clip that is so fabulous about it is, if you know Bob Jenkins, he was a music enthusiast through and through, and he is the kind of guy 100% that probably sat out on his porch in Crawfordsville and just sang that song in the morning time drinking his coffee like 30 times a year, right?
Absolutely. I could just see the best part about that clip for me is imagining him singing that with a huge smile on his face, because, you know, Bob had a smile on his face all the time. And that's what I imagined when I heard the clip the first time, is here's Bob, you know, with Paul Page having some fun in the studio with a big grin on his face, thinking about, you know, he was a, you know, big historian of the races as well. I mean, he loved the races from the 50s and Bob Swikert and all those guys. And I just imagine what a huge smile he had to have on his face. And I loved the beginning with the weird, you know, max headroom reverb thing they did with Sid's voice. I was, you know, I don't know what they were trying to do there exactly, but there was a lot of fun in that clip, I thought.
In college football, the Rose Bowl is known as the granddaddy of them all. And when it comes to songs about the Indianapolis 500, the 500 song is a great one. But in tradition, there might be one that is in fact the granddaddy of them all. We'll get to that, and we will continue listening to some of the music of the greatest race in the world when we return to Beyond the Bricks.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Even if you don't have a Kroger store nearby, you can still get Kroger groceries delivered that are guaranteed fresh. Order on the app and your groceries hit the road. With prices so low, you won't believe the savings. Get $25 off your first two orders, plus unlimited free delivery for $59 a year with a Boost membership. We'll bring all the fresh groceries you need from the store to your door. Kroger, fresh for everyone. $35 minimum order excludes alcohol and gift cards. Offer valid on delivery only with a digital coupon. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Inside the Bet365 Command Center, Jake Query, Mike Thompson. This is Beyond the Bricks. As we get set for the greatest month in all of racing in Indianapolis. Tomorrow, of course, things getting underway. Practice qualifying for the Santiago Grand Prix, which will be run on Saturday. Tonight, we're talking about some of the great music in the history of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. And, of course, when the race is getting set to run, you know it. And you know when everything's about to get underway when you hear Back Home Again in Indiana. Probably the most iconic song when it comes to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, excluding, of course, the national anthem. Speedway historian emeritus Donald Davidson joined Kevin Lee on Talk of Gasoline Alley to talk about some of the early singers of that oh-so-famous song at IMS.
The first year that it was sung on race morning was 1946. James Melton of the New York Metropolitan Opera Company was a friend of Tony Holman because he was an antique car collector, as was Tony. And I don't remember the organization now, but James Melton came to the track in 46 and bought a classic car, and maybe several, because there were a number of classic cars which ran on the track on race morning with several people riding in them, including him, in period costume. And how the singing of the song came about, I really don't know, but probably, you know, just in conversation, thought, well, that would be neat. Let's have you sing it. So he sang it, but it wasn't right before the start. It was something like maybe an hour or so before the start of the race, and he sang accompanied by the Purdue Orchestra, and everything went very quiet as this glorious voice. He was a tenor. I mean, he was a lead tenor with the Met. And they got all kinds of comments on it. And so they said, well, you know, come back again next year. So he did. And it was 1950 was when they moved it to much earlier much later in the morning to approximately where it is now. The first from 46, 7, 8, and 9, it was, you know, during the morning. And then in 50, they had it just shortly before the Gentlemen Start Your Engines and the balloons and everything.
Who sang it those other years, 47, 48, 49?
Oh, James Melton did it in 46, 47, and 48.
Okay.
All right. In 49, he couldn't come. And so they had a local singer named Frank Parrish, that I'd like to know more about. But he was from Indianapolis and, you know, sang on local radio and everything. And so he was pressed into service to do it. Now, I'll continue on and wrap the thing up here. But some people have said, well, it was much earlier than that. Well, it was written in 1917. And it was apparently performed in 1919 at the track, but while the race was going on, and according to they had a band playing at the side of the track.
So while cars are on the track is not new.
No, except that this was while the race was going on.
Wow.
And no, they had a band, you know, just a brass band going, or some kind of an orchestra. And Howdy Wilcox from Crawfordsville, who was now living in Indianapolis, was on his way to winning with a French Peugeot, which was owned by Carl Fisher and Jim Allison. And so the band started to play the song while in the closing laps. But it had nothing to do with ceremony or anything. So anyway, you know, the 46th first year it was sung, and then it's been performed every year since. And Melton did it a couple more times, the last time being 54. But I know that in 51, I think he did it again in 50. Then in 51, Frank Parrish did it again. 52 and 53, it was Morton Downey Sr., who was a very popular singer.
All told, 18 different singers would do Back Home Again in Indiana before 1972, which is fairly famous for the man that took over at that point. But those other singers that Donald did not mention there, in that conversation with Kevin Lee of Talk of Gasoline Alley, you heard him mention James Melton and Frank Parrish, but Morton Downey Sr. Also, Dinah Shore, Brian Sullivan, Jerome Hines, the Purdue University Glee Club in 1959, Dennis Morgan, Mel Torme, David Cokart, Brian Sullivan again, Vic Damone, and Johnny Desmond, followed by Ed Ames, who he had mentioned, Russell Wunderlich, Max Schultz, and Saverio Sardis. I hope I'm saying that correctly, but Mike, let's go back to that original voice. You, of course, as I'm going to call you the official audio historian of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you did find some of that audio that Donald was talking about in that clip. Tell me what we're going to hear next.
Yeah, we have James Melton actually singing the song Indiana, or Back Home Again as in Indiana as it's known. And Sid actually made a point, especially when the Speedway radio network was formed, to stop and pause to make sure to get as much of it, the song, in. And before the Speedway radio network was formed, they actually tried to get it in as well.
And it would turn out the audio we're about to hear would be the final time that James Melton would sing Back Home Again in Indiana. This is how it sounded from the IMS radio network in 1954.
Now Mr. James Melton is singing Back Home Again in Indiana.
Light, still shining bright through the sycamore's storming, a new morn hay sends all its fragrance from the field.
Well, we're not actually going to hear that word from Dodge, but rather we're going to hear what happened a year later. Because in 1955, Dinah Shore came to the Speedway for double duty. She was to kiss the winner in Victory Lane and also to sing the signature song of the pre-race, Donald Davidson on Dinah Shore.
And I talked to Al Wright, who was the head of the Purdue band, the director of the band, I think. I'm not sure what the title would be, but anyway... he told me We talked about Dinah Shore in particular, and he said that normally he would ask the singer, what key would you like? And she said, I will follow you, maestro. But the thing about what's interesting to me is that here we are all these years later, and to this date, Dinah Shore is the only female to do a solo Back Home Again in Indiana. If you hear the radio broadcast, and it's available, when she invites the crowd to join her, it's really moving, and I'm surprised. It's never really been done, except the 1 year when Jim Nabors was not able to be here, and there was a bit of a problem with having him on screen from Hawaii. But the crowd was asked to sing. But when she said, sing along with me, won't you? Or something like that. And that was really very, very effective.
And in terms of Dinah Shore singing the song, this is how it sounded.
Well, we heard your report from Mr. Keating. Here's the Chevrolet girl herself, Dinah Shore, who will kiss the winner in Victory Lane a few hours from now, singing Back Home Again in Indiana.
The gleaming candle.
Once again, as hundreds and hundreds of brilliantly colored balloons have been released from a gigantic tent and soar skyward to add to the pageantry preparatory to the start of this 39th annual running of the 500-mile race.
Now, Mike, in the efforts of being fair and balanced, I can appreciate that with all those beautiful performances we've heard, you decided to also show that sometimes they would step away from the true iconic recording artist for different variations of Back Home Again in Indiana, like in 1971, right?
Well, it give other people an opportunity, certainly. People who you might not think would be singers and who would prove that they, on that particular day, were not singers, is I think what you're trying to say.
Here is Donald Davidson, by the way, talking about when Peter DiPaolo, an Indianapolis 500 winner, sang Back Home Again in Indiana. That event happened in 1971. Donald Davidson talked about it on Talk of Gasoline Alley.
Unfortunately, many people, their memory of DiPaolo singing was the Back Home Again in Indiana in 1971, which was not very successful, but it's such a shame because basically the problem that he was off tune, or at least he couldn't get together with the Purdue band, and the result was very unfortunate. But DiPaolo had a terrific voice, and he was a baritone, and it was a surprise because he was probably 5'7", 5'8", I mean, at the most. And but he had this glorious voice, and I've heard him at several functions singing a cappella, and he would very often enter a room. I remember that he would come into the USAC office, and he wouldn't say anything. He'd just open the door and go, and he.
Can you do that again?
Sure, I'll try. But he actually sang without a song, and I know that's rather an unfortunate. That's actually the title of a song, and it was really good. And it was just a shame that when he got the opportunity to do Back Home Again in Indiana, that there was just it was off key, it was just a case of he and the band couldn't get together. But
that opportunity, as we mentioned, did come in 1971. Sid Collins was, of course, the chief announcer, the anchor of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, and leads us into Pete DiPaolo, who made 7 Indianapolis 500 starts, including a win, of course, singing Back Home Again in Indiana.
We will have further music coming up, and not to keep you in suspense too much longer, we'll have Back Home Again in Indiana, and it will be sung by Pete DiPaolo, as over 10,000 very colored balloons will soar skyward in our brilliant Hoosier sky this morning, released from a giant tent where they've been stored overnight. The Purdue band will play Back Home Again, and the singing voice will be that of the 1925 Indianapolis 500 winner, Pete DiPaolo, and we're very anxious to hear from Pete. Pete says he's been practicing this song, Len, since he won the race, that he used to sing it as he rode around the racetrack.
I think he tries it every morning for breakfast.
He does, and it's been a lifetime ambition, he says, to sing Back Home in Indiana. He'll be the first driver to ever do so. Let's listen to it now.
Back home again.
That's how it sounded in 1971. In 1972, of course, Tony Holman ultimately, on kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing, would ask Jim Nabors to sing Back Home Again in Indiana. Nabors would do it again until 1978, and then a few others before, essentially, in 1987, Nabors would take over nearly permanently until 2015. There have been a few others, and, of course, Jim Cornelius, and now the singer of Back Home Again in Indiana. This is Beyond the Bricks from inside the Bet365 Command Center. When we come back, the iconic musical intro that is synonymous with the Indianapolis 500.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Are allergies holding you back? Take control with Aspire Allergy and Sinus, your one-stop solution for a breath of fresh air. Our expert team offers comprehensive allergy testing and cutting-edge treatments, so you can enjoy life without the hassle of sneezing and sniffles. Say goodbye to allergy and sinus struggles and hello to a healthier, happier you. Go to AspireAllergy.com today to ditch those temporary fixes and schedule your appointment. That's AspireAllergy.com.
Is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Back inside the Bet365 Command Center, Beyond the Bricks, Jake Query, Mike Thompson, talking about the great music of the Indianapolis 500, and of course, one of the most fascinating and interesting synonymous songs when it comes to the Indy 500 is the theme from the film Delta Force, The Delta Force, a 1986 movie with Chuck Norris and Lee Marvin. Adam Silvestri's theme gained a almost cult-like following in 1988 when Paul Page started using it for the opening to the Indianapolis 500-mile race on ABC television. In 2014, Page sat down with our Mike Thompson to talk about how the Delta Force intros came about.
But one other thing I can tell you right away that immediately comes up when we talk about your television career, the Delta Force intros.
Mm.
People love the Delta. I mean, it's so ingrained. Talk about how that you really become synonymous.
Yeah,
with
it,
that.
It kind of surprised me when I realized that it was happening. When I first went over to ABC, our director was a guy named Don Ohlmeyer, who had been my executive producer at NBC. But he was a motor racing nut. And the process for putting together what we call the teases, the opening of the show, which is to grab you, to grab that audience that might be changing the channel. You got to give them something to a reason to stay around. And so in those days, those teases were done in Don Ohlmeyer's concept of taking the absolute best video that you have and putting them together and having maybe a loose reason as why they're together. And then he might describe that loose reason to me. You know, this is Mario, and then Mario here, and then his son. I don't know why, but they're good shots. And then he'd hand it to me, and I'd take, you know, usually about 48 hours to come up with a narrative to match it. And then we'd go in. We did this the week of the race right out at the track. Now they're done, big production values and shot like movies. But and he, the first year we used it, we had Delta Force, but we also put some other music in there and some sound bites, and we didn't like that. So the next year, we liked the song, so we put it together. And wow, it was so fun to write to. The video was so perfect. And you were writing about a two-minute essay, really, is what you were writing. And I never realized, actually, until about 5 or 6 years ago when somebody said, hey, I saw your stuff on YouTube. What are you talking about? So, oh, there's a whole cult going out there for Delta Force. And so
of all of them you did, I mean, there are so many that are so that were so on point, but 1992 seems to be the one that just grabbed everybody because the writing was just everything that encompasses the Indianapolis 500 is in that. If you had somebody sitting there and they didn't know anything about the Indianapolis 500 and you showed them the 1992 Delta Force intro, they'd get it immediately.
Well, then we did our job because that certainly was its intent, and it was to do it in a visual way that would grab you. And that's a lot of history. That's some neat stuff. I'm going to watch that. And they were just so fun to write. And we always did them privately. It was just the audio guys, the director, and myself. And it was also in a day when you pretty well had to read that straight through. You had to get all the timings right and everything. And you didn't have it was in the days before this, the nonlinear stuff, where you could just edit and move things. I mean, you couldn't do that then. So you had to roll right through that and get it right. And, you know, usually it took three takes. One of them we actually took the first take. But I never particularly rehearse them. I'd read lines to see if they'd fit together aloud. Because you couldn't until you had the video, and you couldn't have the video until you had the big remote truck.
And you heard it mentioned, so here is the 1992 Delta Force Indy 500 intro.
A spectacle, the largest single gathering of people for a sporting event. Indianapolis is dangerous. Its narrow road and concrete walls tear at man and machine. A skillful drive can turn to disaster without warning. But the quickest times are found just inches from the walls. It is there the bold must drive. Searching for the fastest lap, even the bravest are not without fear.
There's not been a race I have not been in that at one time or another I hadn't scared myself. And I'm one of the few that admit it. I know you got a bunch of brave heroes out there saying, They're not scared of nothing. All I can say, they've never run fast enough or they've never been hurt.
To drive Indy requires skill, to race at the front, dedication, to win, courage. A champion must push beyond fear. The four corners at Indianapolis draw out a special significance.
You know, there comes a time in a race where money doesn't matter, living doesn't matter, winning is the only thing that matters. And so when you go into those corners, it's winning that tells all.
This past month at Indianapolis has challenged the elite, even the best. Like four-time champion Rick Mears came face-to-face with his own frailty. Rick would walk away. Three-time world champion Nelson Piquet barely escaped. But running on and over the edge is the only way to succeed, the only path to victory in the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
This place, more than any other, will probably push it to the limit, to the very limit, because there's so much at stake. And there comes a time when you just say, man, you've got to go for it.
The time is now. 33 of the fastest have accepted the challenge and are ready for racing's ultimate test. 500 miles on a Sunday afternoon in Indiana. Where will the road take them? Too close to the walls? Or to Victory Lane with its fame and fortune? Indy is a human struggle against all odds. It brings pain and anguish, while at the same time, incomparable reward. In its 81-year history, 589 drivers have started the run. But the Indianapolis 500 has only permitted 54 to make the final turn into Victory Lane. As this day begins, the focus is 200 laps away. An antique cup waits for the new champion. Whose likeness will be molded in silver to join the history?
AJ Foyt, Alan Sir Jr., Mario Andretti, the drivers you heard in that. Out of time, back at it again tomorrow night. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Bricks.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.